So somebody else was praying with us, huh? Hi, everybody. Good to see you here tonight. Thank you all for coming. A couple of you have asked me how I made out last week. Remember last Thursday, I asked you to pray for me. I was heading up on the bus to New York. Everything went great. I got there before the winds came. And before we went through the tunnel, nothing was happening. When we came out of the tunnel, it was snowing, so it was really pretty. And a little bit windy when I got off. My glasses almost blew off my face, but I was able to salvage that. And it was a comfortable ride, even going over the Delaware Memorial Bridge, no problems. So thank you all for remembering me. Had a great weekend. Went to see Hamilton Saturday night. That was fantastic. If you get a chance to see it, don't miss it. I highly recommend it. So, and I'll be going back up next week because for Christmas, my son and daughter-in-law gave me tickets to Bruce Springsteen on Broadway. So, yay, the boss. So, I'll be seeing him next week. So, thank you. I will, yes. You know, it's got to be good. Herb and I went to, that was our first concert we went to see, and he was amazing. He entertained and sang for, he had the whole E Street Band with him, and for like 3 hours, nonstop. I mean, it's amazing the energy and talent this guy has. So I will. I'll tell you all about it. So, okay, as Father Dale said, we're going to talk about new life tonight. And some of it will refer back to what I spoke about, last week as far as experiential love and experiential relationship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. So, to witness to the fact that the good news is indeed the good news, and to let us know that new life is available for you and for me in a much fuller way as we experience the reception of the Holy Spirit. To see that this is new life centers in the experience, as we talked about last week, an experiential relationship with the Lord. Remember, we talked about not just knowing about him and knowing a lot of facts and figures that we all learned as we grew up in the church and in Catholic school, perhaps, but to really experience that in our own heart and in our own life. Now, in John 10:10, the Lord says, I came so that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly means so fully that we're overwhelmed and just filled to the brim in our hearts with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Father wants all of us to have new life. He sent his son Jesus into the world so that we could be given the source of new life. And that source is the Holy Spirit. Or when some of us was in school, was referred to as the Holy Ghost. Anybody remember the Holy Ghost? Okay, well, that's our Holy Spirit today. So often the Christianity which we have come in contact with has not been spiritually alive. But today, God is renewing his church by a fresh outpouring of his Spirit. The Father wants all of us to have new life in him. So in letter C, the Father sent his Son into the world to bring us new life. I'm going to share with you from John 3:16. Many of us are familiar with John 3:16. And as I was thinking about this and praying about this today, I was reading it from different translations, different Bible translations, and I decided to bring the Amplified. I like the Amplified because it's filled with adjectives and it like describes fully just what the Lord is saying to us through the scriptures. So, okay. In John 3:16, the scripture says this, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, his unique son, so that whoever believes and trusts and clings to and relies on him shall not perish, shall not come to destruction, shall not be lost, but will have eternal and everlasting life. Amen? Okay. So, as we accept Jesus as Lord, if we accept his lordship, we can experience a new freedom and a new life in Him. The first time that was brought to me, I'll never forget it. Back again, take you back to St. Thomas More, where this all happened for Herb and I, where we were active in the parish as our kids were growing up and went to school there. The person giving a teaching such as this drew a big circle on an erase board. And he said, "Who is in the center of your circle? See the circle as your life, and who or what is in the center of your circle?" Well, I thought I knew exactly what that answer was. And I thought about it. I raised my hand. I know who should be in the circle. My husband and my kids. And I really thought that was right, because I was a wife and a mother, and that was my call and vocation. And I thought that's who my life should revolve around. No, that's not right. And I was told that after much discussion, that the cross of Jesus Christ should be in the center of my life. Well, I hadn't been told that before, never heard it. And at first, I didn't embrace it quickly, because I kind of thought that being a good wife and being a good mother is what my life should revolve around. But that was just the beginning of my journey. So my circle still remained kind of empty in the center with my two sons and my husband. As we move on, the scripture tells us that in Him all of our sins can be forgiven, no matter what we've done, and every barrier or every wall between us and the Father can be taken away. There's a wonderful scripture that I go to practically every day. As you examine your conscience, it's in 1 John 1:9. And the word says this: "If you confess your sin, He," meaning the Lord, "is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness." So, as it's saying here in our teaching, the Lord forgives us. We do not have to carry the burden of sin. When we know we've sinned, when we know we've done wrong, we go in accordance with 1 John 1:9 and confess our sin to the Lord, and know that as we do, who is He? He is faithful and is just, and He will forgive us, and He'll cleanse us, wash us clean of all unrighteousness. And that's what we can do each day as we pray, as we do an examination of conscience, before you can go to or are able to go to the sacrament of penance. 1 John 1:9 is the place to go. Okay. After Jesus rose from the dead and descended to the Father, He sent the Holy Spirit to bring us new life. So this is all about receiving the Holy Spirit and receiving that new life and receiving the experiential love and the experiential presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go now to the book of Acts. Okay, in the book of Acts, chapter 2 tells us this: "And when the day of Pentecost had finally come, they were all assembled together in one place," much like we are tonight, all together in one room, "when suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each and every person that was gathered there. And they were all filled, diffused, throughout their entire souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other, in different, in foreign languages, in foreign tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they spoke with loud expressions in each tongue in appropriate words." So we see that that is what happened, and that is all part of the new life that God has for you and for me. To experience that new life is to experience the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our identity as sons and daughters restores us in an experiential way. So, as we put Jesus in that circle and make him the center of our life, what happens with that is our prayer life is enlightened. Our prayer life is renewed and restored. Our prayer life isn't anymore something that, haven't prayed today, have to get that in. It isn't like that. It's something that we want to do. It's something that we enjoy doing. And it's something that we look forward to each day. Now in Galatians 4:7, and this is on your handout, the scripture says this: "Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs through Jesus, our Messiah." So everything that the scripture tells us that Jesus has, we are his sons, we are his daughters. We're in the will. He's given us everything that he has because he calls us his. He is our Father, we are his sons and daughters, and we are heirs of everything in his kingdom. When the Holy Spirit comes to someone, they become a changed, a different person. Now, they come, men and women come to know God by experience. They come to know God as Father who loves them and cares for them. So in other words, if you think about, if you're a parent yourself, or if you're not a parent but have children that are close to you in your life, whether they be nieces, nephews, or whoever they may be, you know, you can think about that love you have for that child. You know that you want to fulfill that child's needs. You want that child to be happy. You never want them to be living in pain. You don't want them to be lonely. You want them to have a full life. And you want them to have that abundant life of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So if we, who are not perfect people, we are not perfect men and women, much as we try, we're not perfect moms and dads, if we want all that for our sons and daughters, and we do everything we can to make that happen, think about how much more, how very much more, does our Heavenly Father want that for us, who is perfect, who loves us unconditionally, irregardless of what we're doing or how we've sinned against him. He wants all of that. He wants abundant life. Abundant life means to know him. Abundant life means to experience him. Abundant life means to have all the gifts that he wants us to have, to live a life close to him and to know him personally. Abundant life means just what it says: to be happy, to be filled with joy, and to have, when we have the Holy Spirit, we are also given what Scripture calls the fruit of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians 5:22, which tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, is peace, is joy, is gentleness, is self-control. He wants us to experience and have all those qualities that help us to be that man or woman, that mom or dad, that son or daughter that he's calling us to be. The experience of God's love and presence comes to us in a new way. We experience God speaking in our hearts. He teaches us. He guides us. We come to know Jesus as our Lord. So if you remember, if I can take you back to last week, when we talked about that still small voice within, when I was telling you about how when I was given and yielded to the gift of tongues, and I was able to pray that way, how in that still small voice, I heard the Lord telling me to get a mammogram. Remember that story? And I know I would have never heard that had I lived in the noisy world that I had lived in prior to putting Jesus in that circle, the center of my life. I would have never heard it had I not yielded to that gift of the Holy Spirit, which is tongues, which enabled me to pray, not in a way that I had to think and articulate my feelings, my thoughts, my wants, my desires. I wouldn't have heard it. So that's a really special gift that enables us to hear that still small voice within us. The Lordship of Jesus begins to be the basic principle for our way of life. We can pray in a new way. Prayer becomes more centered on God and less on ourselves. You know, I don't know about you, but before I came to know the Lord personally, my prayer was usually a gimme, gimme, have you got prayer. You know, Lord, I need you. I need this. I need that. Would you give me this? Would you supply that? Make this person better, bless this person. It was all things I was asking God to do. My prayer was not, back then, in the early 70s, was not a prayer of worshiping and praising God. I really hadn't heard about that. Nobody had ever modeled that for me. And I wasn't taught that. That's not how I was taught to pray through 12 years of Catholic school. So my prayer was always asking the Lord for something through the prayers that I had memorized in school. Now, not in any way to say that they are not great prayers or that they shouldn't be prayed, or I'm not speaking at all against those prayers, but I'm making the point of that is all I knew. I didn't know how to talk to Jesus the way I talk to you. I didn't know how to talk to him from my heart, and I certainly didn't know how to praise and worship him in a way that was coming from deep within and that just would come naturally to me. I didn't know that. I learned that when I did make Jesus the Lord of my life, and I learned it as I was filled to a fuller extent to the Holy Spirit and was willing to yield to the gifts that he brings us. Now, through receiving the Holy Spirit in a fuller way, we discover that we can pray in tongues and that the gift of tongues is a means of spiritual growth. It's a prayer of the Spirit that inspires us. It really is an inspirational prayer that inspires us how to praise God. And it's a prayer the Spirit inspires within us when we cannot pray adequately. In other words, I'm sure you've all had situations where you didn't know how to pray. You had a situation and you didn't know what the right thing to pray for was. And I think we all experience that. The prayer of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, is the perfect prayer of the Spirit, prayed through us to God, our Heavenly Father. So we can surrender that to the Lord. We can surrender it to the Holy Spirit and know in faith that that is the perfect prayer that's being heard by God, our Father. It's also a way of praising God when we don't know what to say. I mean, I can remember being with a group of people who had yielded to these gifts and I hadn't. And I couldn't quite grasp it. And I would ask a lot of questions. And why don't you just pray in English so we can all hear? And, you know, and it wasn't until, and I may have shared this last week, it wasn't until I knew I was supposed to praise the Lord and worship him personally in that way, didn't quite know how to do it, and I kept saying over and over again, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I praise you, Jesus, I worship you, and over again, those same phrases, which I knew there had to be more. It was like, is that all there is? You know, there had to be more, And that's when tongues clicked for me, that is the more. That was the more for me, that if I would yield the smallest member of my body, which was my tongue, and allow the Holy Spirit to use it, that would be the more. And that's how I would worship and praise the Lord. And the Lord has that for all of us, for every one of us. Another thing that happens is the Bible comes to life. I had a Bible all my life. Did I use it every day? No. I wrote special things in it, you know, but I really didn't use it every day. I didn't really know the scriptures in my heart. I would hear them at Mass. That's probably about the only place I heard them. And, you know, it was nice, but it wasn't part of me. It really wasn't part of me until, again, I made Jesus the Lord of my life and I opened my heart to the gifts of His Spirit. Then it was like I was hearing it for the first time. It was like, was that always there? It was so relevant. I was able to apply what it was saying to different events in my life. And I had never been able to do that before. The only difference was I had opened my heart to Jesus, to the experience of Him, and to the Holy Spirit. So there's many gifts that come with opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit. There's gifts of prophecy. There's gifts of healing. There's gifts of discernment of spirits and inspirations to speak. That's all found in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. So let me just speak a little bit now about healing. As Father Dale said, our goal is to weave healing into these teachings. And I'd like to share with you an experience that I had after receiving the Lord personally and after being filled with the Holy Spirit. I had started, Herb and I began a prayer group at St. Thomas More. We met every Wednesday night. It was called the People of New Hope. They're still meeting today. And we met in the church hall. And we had normally 70 people every Wednesday meet with us. We had a retreat every year at Bon Secours Spiritual Center. And I started a prayer room. We would meet. There were three of us who prayed with people. And anybody who wanted prayer, whether it be spiritually, physically, emotionally, could come and get prayer. We would have so many people come on Wednesday night that at midnight we were still there praying for people, and we had to put a time limit because we needed to get home, and most of us worked the next day. So anyway, this one particular case I wanted to share with you, I'll never forget it. There was a woman who came to the group every week, and she wanted to have a baby. And she had been to the doctor, you know, and they had been to a fertility guy and so forth, and they just were not able to conceive. She was very close to the Lord. She and her husband prayed. They came for prayer. We prayed. So what happened was nothing was happening. She wasn't getting pregnant. So I started to meet with her. I invited her to my home, and she would come once a week, and we would pray. And so we did that for a couple weeks and into the next month and still nothing. And this one time, and again, this points to the still small voice. It points to not having to think about what you're saying. I remember I was praying over her in the spirit. And this image came to me of an elbow. And I'm thinking, what does an elbow have to do with this? I didn't know right away what it meant. And I continued to pray in the spirit, and she was praying in the spirit. And then I realized, I felt like the Lord was saying, the elbow is a hinge in your arm. It's a hinge. And I thought, yeah, it is. So I said to her, I said, are you aware of anything in your life that's going on that would be hinging, keeping you away from what you're praying for? Conceiving a child. And she thought about it, and she said yes. And she told me what it was, and she had been married before, and she had some serious unresolved issues with her former husband, a lack of forgiveness and so forth, that even went deeper than that. And so she told me about it, And that's where we focused our prayer, on her being willing to forgive, on her being willing to accept, you know. And we met for about another 4 weeks. And somewhere in that next month, when she came to meet with me, she was pregnant. Praise the Lord. And it gives me goosebumps. And she's had 3 children since then. And she's very happy. She's got great kids. She's got a good marriage. And I share that because, again, I don't think I would have heard that or even been able to conceive of praying with somebody to conceive a child and thinking of an elbow and then saying, oh, yeah, an elbow's a hinge. That all came from the Holy Spirit. I know that in my heart. I know me. I know that wouldn't have come from me. I know that the Holy Spirit gave me that word. She was ready for that word to receive it. And because she was willing to forgive, because her heart then was set free and her emotions were set free, you know, then she was able to conceive the first of her 3 children. So it's not just about saying, oh, yeah, I received Jesus as a personal Savior. It's not just about, oh, yeah, I pray in tongues. It's about all that flows from that. It's about all that we can bring to other people through that. It's about how it really allows us to have a life that is abundant, abundantly filled with love and peace and joy for ourselves and for those that we minister to. So I thank you for listening, and I'm going to turn it over to Father Dale now.
Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to actually be looking at letter F on your outline. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8 is actually pre-Pentecost, and Jesus is with the 40 days with his disciples. And it says here, and while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the promise of the Father refers to the Holy Spirit, the promise actually goes way back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the prophets promised that when the Messiah comes, he would give the Holy Spirit so that every person, from the least to the greatest, could be able to grow into a personal intimacy and friendship with the Lord. Up until that point, the Holy Spirit only came to people like Moses, big-time people like David, certain prophets, but for the rest, rank and file, they didn't have any part of that. So if you've heard me say before, one of my favorite scenes in the Old Testament that illustrates this is Moses at the top of the mountain talking to God face to face. The bottom of the mountain are the 70 elders of Israel. 20 miles down the road are the people saying, let Moses take care of it. That's old covenant, Old Testament relationship to God. See the distance? Well, the prophets knew that couldn't be, that had to change, and it would change when the Messiah would come. Look at verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So it's like the disciples were saying, you know, when are you going to bring your administration back into play here so that, you know, you can be top person in Israel and we can have a key place in your administration? That's basically what they were saying. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father is fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you should be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the word for power here in the Greek is, we get dynamite. It's dunamis. It means explosive power. It's not, you know, we're talking about the kind, and Jesus is talking about the kind of inner power that can be equivalent to a dynamite going off, a stick of dynamite. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, then, we're talking about the third person of the Trinity coming to live in us through the waters of baptism, and he wants to become like a stick of dynamite inside of us. I mean, he wants to become an explosive force of love flowing in us and through us. So let's take a look at letter F here on your outline. We get strength or power for a number of couple things that I think we need in our life. The first is we need strength and power to accomplish goals and handle tasks ahead of me. Zechariah the prophet in the Old Testament said, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We need power from on high to be able to accomplish the daily tasks that we have, dealing with the situations in our life, dealing with the people in our life that we have love and care for, dealing with challenges in our life. We need power for even the things inside of us that we struggle with. So we need that explosive power of the Holy Spirit to be able to manage well and do well in just the task of life. The second reason we need the strength or power is to influence the world around me. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we just heard, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Notice what Jesus says. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The word for witness means one who has a firsthand account of something that you can, that your statement or your witness is credible from the point of view that it is something that comes from firsthand experience. Why? So that we can influence the world around us. What are we witnessing to? We're witnessing to the new life that comes through relationship with Christ. So when we meet people who are suicidal or hopeless or depressed or battling various kinds of addictions, or we meet people that are struggling in their relationships, we can influence the world that they live in, that we live in with them, by witnessing to the hope that's found in Christ. We want to share the good news with them. And let me just say something. Because it's like power, like a stick of dynamite going off in us, you don't even have to attend an evangelization course to do that. Like, it just comes naturally. Like, I just want to share. When somebody's sharing their struggles, it's we listen with an attentiveness and openness and compassion, but then we also look for the opportunity to share with them the hope for their life found in the person of Christ. They may not accept it. They may accept it with hesitancy. They may just be polite to you. They may want to switch topic and talk about the Orioles. You know, I don't know. But we want to share it with them, because there's something inside of us that says that I have to do this. Something inside of us that almost compelling me to do this, because I know that he's the hope of that can help them in their struggles. Okay, and the third thing is to resist temptation and to endure trials. We all face temptations and trials. First letter John says, little children, you are of God, overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So we all face temptations. We all face trials in our life. We need power, dynamite power, in our life to help us be able to handle them well, to overcome them. Okay, so let's take a look at what this full life in the Spirit means to us. It begins when we're baptized in the Spirit. So letter A here. When we are baptized in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes to us or in such a way that we can experience his presence and see it change us. For many of us, this will not be our first reception of the Holy Spirit, but the release of his power that already is within us. We receive the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation in the sacraments of initiation. That's where we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there. However, what a lot of us lack is the experiential awareness and contact with the Lord. Pat used the word a number of times, experiential. In other words, it moves from the head to the heart through experience. So let me give you since we're approaching baseball season, let me give you my baseball analogy here. Okay, so if you were interested in baseball, didn't know anything about baseball, I could take you, you know, into Panera's, pull out some books on baseball, kind of go through some highlights, show you a little bit of the history of baseball. Okay, and that's baseball. And then I say, okay, that's not quite baseball. Okay, so let's go to a game, and we sit and we watch, let's say, the Orioles play, or the Phillies, if you're from Philadelphia, okay? Or if you want to go further up, you know, the Yankees. But any case, we watch the game. We watch the ball being hit. We watch the ball being caught. We watch all the action of a baseball game. We say, that's baseball, yes. But if you were to get out onto the field and you were at the best you could do and try to feel ground balls that were hit to you, or a bat was put in your hand and you try to swing the bat and hit the ball, or you're in the outfield trying to snag down a fly ball, or you're on the mound trying to pitch and strike somebody out, you may not be all that great at it, but you're playing baseball now. You've moved from the classroom and from watching to now something you're experiencing. So if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, explain baseball to me, you could tell them from firsthand experience what baseball is like. You may not be a major leaguer, but you know through experience what baseball is like. So to put that into what we're talking about, you don't need to know a lot about your faith. It's not about intellect or not accumulation of a download of information. It's not how many seminars or classes you take. It's not how much. It's about your experience of the Lord that you are sharing and talking about. That is what you become an expert on. So when somebody says, what's it like to field a ground ball? You could say, well, I didn't do a great job with that, but I can tell you what it's like to field a ground ball. How was it like to swing the bat? You say, well, I wasn't too good at swinging the bat and hitting the ball, but I can tell you what it's like to swing and make contact with the baseball. That's what we mean by experience of the Lord. When that's lacking in our life, then we're missing a critical dimension to our Christian and Catholic life that is meant, we were meant to have through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. Letter B, different people see different changes happen to them as a result of being baptized in the Spirit. So now we're talking about that experiential contact with the Lord. Those who have not been Christians will be given a full working of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, if you're not a Christian and you experience the Holy Spirit in a fuller way, then it's going to lead them to say, hey, you know, I want the sacraments. I want to grow in relationship to Christ in the midst of his church. Those who have already experienced something of the Holy Spirit's presence in their lives can receive all that is lacking. For example, a lot of us who receive the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation may not know about the gifts he wants to bring us. So that's waiting for us. Everyone can experience a new presence and working of the Holy Spirit in our life. As St. Teresa said, there is always more. There's always more. Number two, those of us who have been Christians will see that our years of Christian living have provided us with many resources that will be brought to life by the new presence of the Spirit in us. So what we're talking about here is that the resources, things like prayer in the scriptures and the sacraments, things like that, things like looking at our own hearts and beginning to see the gifts the Lord's given us, all suddenly becomes alive to us. We start to see it in a new way in our life. No Christian should lack contact with God or be powerless as a Christian. Everyone, even beginners in the Christian life, can be baptized in the Spirit. So, baptism in the Holy Spirit then, or being baptized in the Holy Spirit, means simply that I want more of the Holy Spirit at work in my life and his gifts that he wants to pour into my life. I want to experience more of his presence, more of his power at work in me to help me in accomplishing my task, in being able to influence the people in my life for good, and to being able to overcome trials and temptations in my life. That I need his power for that to happen in my life. I need him to become alive to me in a really personal way so that I can be able to accomplish those kinds of things in my life. Father Ranieri Cantalamessa, who's the household preacher for Popes John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Pope Francis now, said this: baptism in the Spirit is not a human invention, it's a divine invention. It's a renewal of the whole Christian life, of all the sacraments. It's a grace. It depends on the Holy Spirit. It's a coming of the Holy Spirit, which is manifest in repentance of sins and seeing life in a new way, which reveals Jesus as the living Lord, not a personage of the past, and the Bible becomes a living word. The fact is, this cannot be explained, meaning that you can't exhaust it. We can understand it to some extent, but it's a grace, and typically of a grace, we can't fathom the depth of it. We just simply receive more and more of what's being offered to us. So I'd like to take the next 15 minutes in your small groups. Just talk about what impressed you this evening, what spoke to your heart.